Perhaps I could first and foremost thank Norman for the kind invitation given to me to take part in the funeral service. It's hard to express how you feel when you are so invited. You can hardly say you're happy. And yet, it does please me to have an opportunity to take part here today. I will be reading the scriptures in a few minutes. I'm leaving it to the last because no matter how sincere are the words of sympathy that any one of us can express, there is nothing that comforts us like the Word of God. And for that reason, I want to close my few remarks with what God has to say. Bidding farewell to a loved one whose life has ended, and in the circumstances in which we meet today, ended suddenly, unexpectedly, someone whom we will never meet again, in this scene of time, is heartbreaking. It is especially so when that loved one has been the very heart and center of the lives of individuals in the family circle in particular that are gathered here today. This is a heartbreaking time, but bless God, He has ointment for a broken heart, and may that be applied today. It is for this reason that I want to offer, along with others, my sincerest sympathy to the whole Nesbitt family. You know, I look down upon the family and friends here, many of whom I can remember as but youngsters attending school. I needn't tell them they've changed a little. I'm trying hard not to imagine what you're thinking looking up at me and the changes you perhaps see there. But today has meaning for me. I'm no stranger coming to take part in the funeral. I'll not say I'm a member of the family, but I'm as close to being a member of the family as I suppose it can for a non-member to be. Norman, Louise and Andrea, your loved ones, wider circle, sisters-in-law, we offer our sincere sympathy at this time and commend you to the Lord. I was reminded this morning of a little verse of scripture, or part of a verse of scripture. A long time ago, 1917, my granny Foster lost a son in World War I. Killed on the 1st of April, 1917. He wasn't even 18 years of age. He was a sergeant in the Enniskillen Fusiliers. It broke my granny's heart. Some would even say it shortened her life. But when asked for something to put on his gravestone in France, she hit upon, decided upon, was led to a few words from Luke's Gospel, the chapter 24 and the verse 15. Jesus himself drew near. That's what she experienced. Norman and the whole family circle, may you know that today. There is none who can sympathize and comfort like the Savior. For me today, I have lost a friend. I was looking at the picture on the order of service. Many times that dear lady encouraged me, for she shared my convictions on events in recent times and boldly stood for what was true. She was a fellow laborer in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's not insignificant that on the day she left this scene of time and went to be with the Lord, she was just completing an act of kindness. Her heart was moved for others who weren't as well off, and she gathered together surplus garments and took them into a charity shop. That, to me, was Evelyn Nesbitt, a woman who, for years, has been suffering severe illness and, in more recent times, increased complications. But there she was, doing what she could for others, doing what she could for others. My own links with Mrs. Nesbitt goes back way to the 1960s, when I first met her father and mother. I can still see them both. Many times I visited that wee home in Springfield. In fact, I could say many times I cailed in it. I was welcome there. Old Mrs. Gott was the very epitome of a godly Christian Ulster woman. I never forget her. I never have. And oftentimes her lovely face comes before me. What sweet fellowship I had in that home, in very troublesome times as it was in the country. Evelyn's pilgrimage to glory ended on Wednesday past. Whatever our thoughts may be regarding the conclusion of her pilgrimage, just you bear in mind that at this moment she is rejoicing, as you and I cannot even begin to imagine, in the presence of her Saviour. She's rejoicing in the wonderful mercy of God. There's not a shadow of a question regarding her exit from this scene of time. No, no, no. For her today, all is mercy, all is love, all is grace. Brought up in a home where the gospel was taught, brought to the feet of Christ, walking for years in obedience to his word, she is now in his presence, in the mansions of glory, singing, singing. Paul said, to be with Christ is far better. And I can almost hear Evelyn say that. Shout that today. The last verse of that opening hymn, I thought so suited her. To the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. In a day when there is so much wandering away from the gospel, Evelyn never wandered. It's shame and reproach, gladly bear. That was true of her too. Then he'll call me someday. Wednesday came as a surprise to us all, but in truth, not to Evelyn. She knew he would call her one day to her home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. My dear friends, Norman and family, may the Lord comfort and bless you all, and all who with you mourn the passing of a dear lady. I'd like to read some words now, please, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's only a short passage, a very familiar passage, but there's something about God's word. It never becomes too familiar, so that it loses its power to bless. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at the verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Christian, God wants you to know all about life and death, and what happens to the child of God when they die. There's a lot of ignorance about that subject, even among Christians. But it ought not to be so. Concerning them which are asleep. That's the term God uses. Norman, Evelyn's asleep. In the sense that as every one of us sleep, only to be awakened. And if we get a half good sleep, we awake refreshed. That's the future for the child of God. That's the future for the child of God. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. He was speaking now with authority. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. That's an old word, the meaning of which we've somewhat forgotten. It simply means, we which are alive and remain shall not go before, as somebody who seeks to prevent you by standing in front of you. So that's the meaning of the word. There's going to be no first and second class believer on the day of resurrection. No, we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together, together. Should we live to the return of Christ, then dear Christian and dear family members, if you're saved today, you'll meet your loved one. And together, you will be in the presence of the Lord. We will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, never depart again, if I might add those words. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The Lord bless you, one and all.